Aspire. Build your power skills and increase your employability. Brought to you by Amdocs.
If you're talking to a major CEO of a company or your boss at work, they might kind of roll their eyes when they hear creativity because they think of like, you know, craft time or, you know, like kids finger painting or something. But the interesting thing that all creative people know is that once you learn how to be creative in one realm of your life, that really transfers over to other realms.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Amdocs Creativity and Innovative Thinking miniseries. I'm Akshay Chillal from Amdocs India Innovation Team, your host for today's episode. Today's guest has been a huge inspiration to me. He's the author of several best-selling books around creativity in the digital age. In this episode, together we'll have a dialogue around how to optimize our creative life and practice creativity at work and beyond. I'm really excited and happy to meet and interact with Austin Kleon. Hi, Austin. Welcome to this podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right, so let's get started with a quick rapid-fire round to get to know you a little better. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Great. How would you introduce yourself in one line?
I like to call myself a writer who draws. And what that means is my background and my education is in writing. But all my books have pictures in them. Like Alice in Wonderland said, I don't really see the point of a book without pictures in it. So the drawing is a way that I illustrate my ideas. And to me, pictures and words are together in my head, and they're together on the pages of my books.
That's something really interesting. So you're a writer who draws, and you are an author who make books with pictures, and you are an artist who loves to make art.
With words, actually.
With words,
a lot of my art has words in it, yes. So I'm kind of a hybrid beast, a picture and word beast, basically.
What's your biggest passion?
Probably reading, I would say. My life as a writer begins with reading. So, you know, my love of reading led to my passion for writing. And that's why I write books, because I love to read them.
Great. Here's the final one. What is the one thing you can't live without?
I think something to write with and something to write on.
That's awesome. Now that we got to know you a little better, let's continue our discussion on further on how can we optimize our creative life. But before we begin, one of this question was there in my mind. Why creativity? I mean, why when it is needed? Can you please share your insights?
Well, I mean, creativity is how we invent our world, really. I mean, you know, and I have a very simple definition of creativity, which is taking what's in front of you and what's in front of me and everyone else and just turning those things into new things, basically. Kids do it intuitively. You know, all children are creative. They don't really need to be told how to be creative. They're inventing their world by exploring it and by playing. And what happens, I think, is that adults on the whole, they tend to have their creativity kind of denied to them through different, you know, through different ways. You know, I think whether it's they go to school and they're told that they're not artists or they're not creative, or whether they find themselves in a career that doesn't give them access to that part of themselves. I think a lot of adults over time lose their access to their natural creative abilities. And so I think that's why I have a job. Is that someone like me can kind of come in and kind of, I don't find that my job is that much more difficult than just exposing people again to what creative activity feels like, what it's like to practice it, and then giving them some encouragement to bring it back into their life.
So what is the process of extracting that inspiration? I mean, what is the core of your work?
Well, the first book of mine that anyone read was called Steal Like an Artist. And the idea behind Steal Like an Artist is that nothing that we do is completely original. That all the creative work that we do builds on what came before, and all of, you know, all of human life really is built on what came before. And so that the way to do better creative work is not to ask yourself what is original to you, but to kind of search and find people doing creative work that you love and you admire and that you can use for your own work, and to take all of that different stuff and to kind of weave it into a tapestry, or, you know, sew it into a quilt of your own, you know, design. And so creativity is often, it's often sparked by other people doing creative work. Like, every great artist is brought to art by seeing someone else doing art in a way that you know, inspires them. And so I think that is my first thing that I always say to people is, like, don't worry about being a genius. Don't worry about being an artist. Don't worry about being original. What you need to worry about at first is being a student right. of creative work, studying and looking and paying attention to the work that does something to you, you know, that either fires your mind or your spirit, and to start collecting that work in a sense, and think about how you could bring that inspiration into your own work.
Right. So it's basically about, you don't steal the style. It's, you want to steal the thinking behind the style. That's what you quoted it rightly.
Yeah. I mean, it gets misunderstood, the steal stuff. When I talk about stealing, I talk about it in the way that the poet T.S. Eliot talked about it, which T.S. Eliot said that immature poets, you know, young poets, they copy other poets. And he said that the mature poet steals. He takes little bits and pieces from other people's words and then welds it into a whole, something that's much different from the thing that he stole it from. So it's about taking little bits and pieces of lots of different material or inspiration, and then weaving them into something that you can't even recognize where the stuff was taken from. But in when you're studying people who you admire, it is not about just stealing the look of that person. If we're talking about, like, an artist, for example, not just stealing the style, but it's stealing the thinking behind the style, getting to know the creator or the creators enough that you understand where their decisions came from, and you start to learn to think like them. That's really what you want when you're studying creative people, is you want to kind of know how they think, to kind of get inside their head.
Right, right. On these same lines, now, one of those questions was there in my mind. You know, when you launched, or rather you started off the newspaper Blackout, I mean, how this idea popped up in your mind? What was your inspiration then? Because today, when we see it has created, or rather it has fueled a moment of blackout poetry across the internet, yeah? So what was that thought process behind, you know, the newspaper Blackout?
Well, I should probably describe what Newspaper Blackout is to your listeners. What I do is I take an article from a newspaper and I make boxes around certain words that pop out at me, and I connect them into new phrases and or funny sayings. And then when I'm done, I black out everything I don't need. If you're listening, picture in your mind, it kind of looks like if the CIA did haiku. It looks like a redacted government document that has a little haiku inside. So how I started making those was I hit a very old-fashioned case of writer's block. I found myself kind of staring at my computer screen, and I didn't really have any ideas or didn't know what to write. I was young. And one day I kind of looked at the recycle bin next to my desk, and there was the newspaper, and It was stuff full. I thought, well, geez, there's tons of words here. Maybe I could borrow some of them. So I had always been a fan of a website called The Smoking Gun, which is, it's a website in the United States that they post redacted government documents, like John Lennon's FBI file or something. It would be all marked out and a few words would be left over. So I thought, well, maybe that'd be a way to make writing. And that's how the idea started. So So there's a couple of levels going on there. One that I wanted to, you know, point out to inspire other people. One, it literally came from me not having any ideas, you know, not being inspired, not feeling creative, and not feeling like I had anything original to say. That was the kind of impulse with it. Secondly, the method was using stuff that people normally don't think about, which is a newspaper and a marker. You know, something that's sitting around the office, you know, right now. So materials that aren't very fancy or and everyday, and that most people are going to throw away, you know, later on. And third, I'm actually creating my work by using the work of other people, like taking other people's writing and then destroying it, basically, is how I get new writing out of it. And so those are kind of the three layers of the blackouts. And I think that what happened when I started doing them in 2005. So it's been a while. And I think they just taught me this new way of kind of thinking about creative work. Because again, before I made that work, I had sort of thought about creative work as being about, you know, the personal expression of your inner soul or, you know, your originality, finding what only you have to say. And I do think that still is a lot of art. That's what art does, but it isn't necessarily the beginning. It might be the end of the process. I think that people think that has to be the beginning of the process, that you have to know who you are and what you stand for and what you think or whatever before you start doing creative work. And I think it's the opposite. I think it's through doing creative work that you actually discover who it is that you are. And so part of the challenge of helping people be creative in their lives is that they have to be ready to discover who they are when they start making work, because it might surprise you. And really good creative work does surprise you. Every time I go to the page, or every time I'm filling a sketchbook page or a page on the computer, you know, or going to make a blackout, the goal is to get somewhere that I didn't know where I was going. You know, if I only sit down and write exactly what I think I'm supposed to write, that's fine, but it's not the process of discovery that happens when really, really good creative work is being done.
Yeah. So that's actually very interesting, and I can actually see the amazing stuff coming out because of that idea getting converted. And now when I look for this blackout, there's some amazing stuff by people which gives you more inspiration. On the same lines, now I heard you saying that creativity is a mean to do something else. I mean, it's a kind of a tool. It is something that you use to get to some place. So, however, it's a little different than the common perception what people carry. So can you elaborate more on that, like creativity is just a kind of a tool? Why you believe that?
Yeah, so, you know, when I use creativity in my work, it's to get a piece of artwork or to get a piece of writing. But there's so many different ways. I mean, when someone cooks dinner, you know, that's kind of a level of creativity. When someone rearranges their room so that it works better for them, like when they work, you know, like that's creativity. You're taking the things in front of you and you're rearranging them into a new situation. So you could start to see the different levels. And creativity is, you know, it can be used for, you know, we talk about creative accounting. You know, that's not necessarily, a good thing. You can use your creativity to scam people. You can use creativity to build weapons. You know, I mean, you can use creativity. There's a vast spectrum of activities that you can use creativity to get to certain, you know, means. And so I do believe it's an end. But one of the nice things is I also think that that's why, if you can teach people to be more creative at work or in their life, those skills transfer. And so that's why I think it's so important. You know, if you're talking to a major CEO of a company or your boss at work, They might kind of roll their eyes when they hear creativity because they think of like, you know, craft time or, you know, like kids finger painting or something. But I think the interesting thing that all creative people know is that once you learn how to be creative in one realm of your life, that really transfers over to other realms. I think one of the challenges of the modern workplace is that people are seen as doing one thing. I just need you to do this one thing, right? Like this is your job title and you do this part of it. But that's not really how human beings operate. They bring their whole of themselves and their whole experience to every problem that they have to solve. And so when you're hiring, I think some people are scared of hiring people who are very interested in multiple things because they're like, well, how are they going to focus on this one little job I have for them? But I think, you know, in general, it's well-rounded people who have lots of different kinds of experiences, people who come from different places, people who have solved different problems in their life. Those are the people that you really want to have around you, people with broad, rich experiences.
It takes me back to, you know, this quote by John Cleese. I heard in one of the videos, creativity is not a talent, it is a way of operating. And that's what you mentioned here. And it is less of a noun, that's something what we have, and it's more like a verb. That's something what you do.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, the longer I'm alive and the longer I do this work, the more I kind of look at the world. And it's interesting. The great philosophers and poets and physicists all kind of say the same thing, which is the universe isn't really made up of things. It's made up of processes. And I think the more that as a human being, you can think about your life in terms of the verbs that are happening, the processes that are going on, and less about the things, the more that can kind of open you up to creative experience. And to go back to the workplace, people have job titles, right? So in the workplace, people are, you know, they have titles for what they do. And what that does is kind of silo everybody off, like, okay, here's your role and you stick to it, you know? And so everybody has a noun for themselves. But I think that when you stick too much to your job title, you don't think holistically. What you need in a workplace is you need a lot of people thinking about the problems that you're facing and a kind of brain share, you know, a way to have a network of thinking. You need people thinking together, basically. And I think that a lot of people don't feel the freedom to think openly because they feel restricted by their noun, you know, by their job title. And so it's a challenging thing.
This was part one of our conversation with Austin Kleon. Thank you so much for listening. Don't miss part two, where we'll talk about how we can fuel creativity and how working in large organizations benefits creativity.